And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we've got our special guest back, Miss Cindy L. from Firefighter Cancer Foundation, who is going to give us some amazing tips to keep our pets and ourselves safe for this holiday season. Well, we've had kind of a tough week again in the Northeast here. We just keep getting slammed with snow. Now, that normally isn't a problem if you're a 5 or 6 year old kid who wants school to close. But when you've got a dog and now all of a sudden you're not able to take your dog out because the snow is bad or there's ice or, you know, it's just bad out. Well, there are ways that you can handle that in your own home. You can still take your dog for a walk on the leash in a room you don't use very often. Bet you didn't think of that. So throw that gentle leader on or throw that little slip lead on, and you can take your dog for a walk in a basement area that you don't use too much or in a room that you don't use a lot, and you can just do 5 or 6 laps. You don't have to do a lot. It's just a matter of making sure that the dog understands that he's still going to hunt for his food, and then when he comes back, he doesn't eat first. And then after you're done eating, symbolically, then he's able to eat. So a lot of people have been asking, hey, you know, Janice, I don't know what to do. You know, my dog really, you know, does so well with all the things you've been teaching us. But what do I do, you know, when the weather's so bad? And some of the people that I've worked with, especially recently, are either elderly or, you know, disabled. And, you know, we do a lot even with our service dogs. Well, you still have to hunt for food. If you have a lot of snow and ice, you still got to get to work. So really the most important thing is for you to continue the same pattern. It's just you don't have to put your coat and shoes on, but you can still walk your dog. You can still get him out there, go for your symbolic hunt, come home and wait for 15, 20 minutes symbolically. And by doing that, you're still keeping that same pattern of making sure you're doing that hunt. You're waiting for the pack leader to eat, which is symbolically is you, and then you're going to eat your dinner or give your dog your dinner. So that hunt, wait, eat is still the same thing. It is still the exact same thing. Just use a basement or a family room, a room you don't usually use, and you can still do your hunt. Well, we've got some really cool things we're going to work on today. One of the most important things is, in this weather, when we've got a lot of extra heaters, especially when it's really cold, we use electric heaters, kerosene heaters, different things like that. We have Cindy L., who is going to be helping us today to understand some of the safety guidelines we should make sure that we're careful about when we are using electric heaters. Some of you have dogs that are, you know, kind of hairy. Make sure that those dogs and their hair doesn't get tied up and too close to these heaters, you'll wind up with a fire. So, Cindy, I just want to welcome you to the show today, and very, very grateful that you're able to help us out on such short notice. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Janice. It's a pleasure, and I appreciate, again, having myself and the Firefighter Cancer Foundation part of the amazing effort and the great information that you provide to all your listeners and folks that follow your program.
Well, thank you so much. So tell us a little bit about what we should be doing in this weather, because I don't think most people realize that, you know, you really have to be aware of what's going on when you have dogs, especially longer-haired dogs, around heaters and just in this weather in general. Can you give us some tips from preventing fires and preventing issues?
Sure. You know, as always, we want to start with the basics. You know, your basics for dealing with pets, whether they're indoor pets or outdoor pets, is of course always being on the lookout for hypothermia and frostbite. So you don't want your pets to be cold. You also don't want them to be wet for a prolonged period of time. And if your dogs have arthritis, your animals have arthritis, they're going to hurt the same way you would hurt as a person. So you want to keep those things in mind. This time of year, yes, people are using heaters that may not be meant for the spaces that they're being utilized in. You especially want to use caution if you're using a heat lamp, a space heater, or any other devices that are not approved for use with animals. They're not only a hazard for creating a fire, because one, the animals are at the same level as the heater. So you have fur that unfortunately could catch on fire, which is bad for your animal, and also bad for your home and bad for you. Two, we also have the issue where your pet can sustain burns. So that would be a burn to the nose, could be a burn to a paw. You know, animals are curious. When they see something they're not used to being around, they're going to go up and sniff it, or they're going to come up and want to try to touch it. That's how they communicate, as you've taught people so well. So, you know, we don't want to have our animals end up with a burn on the nose or have obviously singed fur. Also, there are pet supply vendors that will sell heaters and mats made specifically for animals. So you want to check your labels and check with your retailers that hopefully are educated in sharing that information. There are websites out also that have that information for you, too, that can give you guidance, you know, what's good, what's bad.
Wow, that's interesting. So there are actually companies who will be able to help our listeners and find them appropriate safety mechanisms on things like that. So I know they have the heat mats because we use those when we breed our dogs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I never really thought of that. And I have real short-haired dogs, so obviously, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, I have a lot of clients who have, you know, heavy-coated dogs like Goldens and Labs and Bernese Mountain Dogs. And we just actually rescued another Bernese Mountain Dog from the shelter. They are so cute. So there are a lot of different things. Another question I have, Cindy, is what about in the dryer? Because I know even with my Ridgebacks, we seem to get, like, a lot of buildup mm-hmm. of the pet hair in dryers. And can that cause a fire?
Oh, absolutely. Pet hair combined with fibers from clothing that comes off from normal laundering procedures definitely builds up in the lint traps of your dryer. And so after every load that you dry in your dryer at home, you should be emptying that lint trap. If you have pets, then absolutely you'll see a buildup of extra dog hair, extra pet hair, in addition to that normal lint, which can cause a fire. And beyond the lint traps, if you have an actual hose that comes off of your dryer and vents to the outside, you also want to check that periodically because, again, those spaces can also build up that lint and can also cause a fire.
Wow. Yeah, it's just funny. You don't realize, even like I heard of somebody, and I don't know if this was true or not, but she told me her vacuum cleaner mm-hmm. had a fire because she had some kind of like a HEPA vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
And apparently the hair built up and it got caught in the mechanism that turns on the bottom and mm-hmm. The bottom of the vacuum cleaner lit on fire. That was like scary.
Yeah, the hair will actually, it will clog. It basically becomes like little braids and kind of braids itself into these very interesting bigger hairballs. Of unique shapes and sizes, but it starts winding on itself, and as it winds, it gets tighter and larger, and as it does that, it will clog whatever it comes in contact with. So that could be a vacuum cleaner motor. It could be belts. It can be a hose. So, yeah, those are all things that you want to be aware of when you're cleaning
wow.
your house.
Cindy, you totally have to stay for another segment.
Okay.
I got some more questions for you coming right back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Tow Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Tow Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Tow Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Tow Leash, visit biketowleash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. BikeToe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're talking to Cindy L. from Firefighter Cancer Foundation, who is giving us some amazing tips that not only could save your animal, but could save your life. There are things that we just don't think of when we have pets. And especially dogs, and especially at this time of year when people are using heaters, people are kind of bundled up. And even I've noticed even where people throw their dog's blanket and people throw things on the heater. And I've seen people do this where they take one of those radiator-style heaters and they throw their clothes on it when they come in from snow shoveling, or they throw the dog's coat on it or whatever to warm it up. Cindy, how smart of an idea is that to do, and what should people know about preventing fires from simple things like that?
Well, again, not the smartest thing. And honestly, the old-style heaters that are your water-based heaters, I know in years past that's what you did. You walked in the house, you threw your things on the old heater or the old radiator and warmed them or dried them that way. Now, however, with the new fibers and unfortunately new chemicals that are in these fibers and these blankets and this clothing, it's really not safe to do so. You really don't want to superheat and dry your clothing articles and your blankets and your items that way. One, you can actually have an off-gassing effect of whatever flame retardants or chemicals are in those items.
What does that mean, Cindy? I know you know what that means.
Unfortunately, when you heat up any type of a fabric, and if that fabric has flame retardants in it, those flame retardants actually can cause cancer. And what we're learning now is that some of these items that are coming to this country from China and manufactured in other countries like China have chemicals in them that are supposed to keep them from burning, but unfortunately they can cause cancer. And so it's something you're going to be seeing more and more in the future through legislation, through educational campaigns, but there is a big move now in the country to remove flame retardants from our clothing, from our furniture. Unfortunately, if we heat up these things, like by throwing them on a heater, you actually cause those bad gases to come off. And they're not things that we can necessarily see, taste, or smell, but that we would be exposed to, and more importantly, our pets would be exposed to, because they're so close to where those gases would be.
Wow. So in other words, that's what we're doing when you and I are working for Firefighter Cancer Foundation through United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, where we're taking these firefighters and the other first responders, including even some of the arson investigators. And that's why we're finding so many of these guys who are exposed to, I guess, this off-gassing, where that actually creates some of the cancers in these guys. So this is really important, the fact that, even by heating something up or, doing something that is increasing the amount of gas that comes off of that, you can actually be exposing your animal and yourself to cancer.
Correct.
That's just what we all need, is more exposure to cancer. We've already got electronics that are shooting radio waves through every particle of our bodies. So what can people do instead of heating it up like that? Is it safe to use a dryer, or does that still off gas?
Well, that's what we're waiting to find out now. We're hoping that as things work on a national level for education, there are a lot of countries that actually have banned these chemicals from being in their items that are produced in Europe and other places that are ahead of us with regards to fighting the cancer game. So we're hoping to find out if indeed by just hang drying these items that could just dry naturally, in other words, putting something on a rack, hanging it over the rod in the shower, hanging it up where you have good ventilation. As long as there's air moving, it will dry. It may not dry quite as quickly, but at least it will dry without putting off any bad gases that can make you or your pet sick. Something else to think about, too, when you're bringing blankets into the home is look at where that blanket is made and look at what it's made of. If your animal chews that blanket, are they going to be basically ingesting or swallowing something bad, you know, that could hurt them? That's something that you want to think about, too.
Yeah, we talk about that where anything that the dog comes in contact with, even carpet fibers.
Absolutely.
Or toys. That's why I'm a big preacher of, you know, nothing made in China.
Right.
If it's made in the U.S., it's got so many more regulations and restrictions. Doesn't mean you can't buy something in China.
Right.
But thinking that even if the dog isn't digesting it or ingesting it, it's still touching it with its mouth, it's still chewing, it's licking.
Correct.
And, you know, we don't want our dogs, obviously, you know, dogs don't process chemicals even as well as we do, not that we process them well. But, you know, it can affect the liver, it can affect the kidneys, it can cause weird cancers. And, you know, there's a reason that we're getting so many odd cancers in firefighters. And obviously, if they're going to be exposed to very similar things to what we're going to be exposed to, just on a larger level, obviously, than we are, you know, we're all potentially at risk for this. So this is a really important thing. This isn't even about just the dogs. This is really about the humans and making sure that, you know, we're all kind of, you know, on the same page about understanding what these things can cause. So that's a really interesting thing. Cindy, if you can explain a little about fire retardants, I'm sure you know the history of it because you know everything. I know a good friend of mine who was 5 years old when I met him. His first name is Sean. He was the original child who, I think it was pretty prominent nationally. He was actually making breakfast for his sister, his little sister. He had turned the stove on. He was about 7, and his little sister was hungry, so he was a very good big brother. And he climbed up on the stove, and he lit on fire. And he had 89 or something crazy percent of his body burned. His face is okay. Everything else was pretty much burned. Now, about a year ago, there was a similar thing happened with a little girl that I know of who we're doing a service dog for. She was the beneficiary of the flame retardants from Sean because she had only burns on some part of her face, which is now healed completely, and her hands, but her body was not burned. So is this saying that we shouldn't have any flame retardants or, like, just not as crazy as they've gone? Obviously, little kids, I imagine they would still want to have some kind of thing. Is it getting to that point where even flame retardants in kids' clothes could be a problem?
Yeah, the state of California actually has legislation that I believe has been passed that has also hit the state of Maine and is now moving toward legislative functions in D.C., Washington, D.C., to remove all flame retardant chemicals from children's clothing because they believe that is actually driving up the children's cancer rate.
Whoa.
Yeah. There's been a lot of research done in the state of California, which was one of the first states that actually had flame retardants. So now they're actually totally reversing what was earlier thought as a life-saving mechanism, you know, for our kids and then for our families by putting it into furniture, rugs, and virtually anything that you would have in the home. Unfortunately, now they're having to totally reverse that thinking because now we know that these items in the home will actually emit gases that we can't see, taste, or smell, and over that period of time that they're in the home actually can be causing our cancers, both in adults and children.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. All right. We're going to have you back for another segment. You
sure.
know you're going to be stuck here the whole show.
This is
really life-saving stuff, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned. It could save your life.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And a quick shout out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph up in Ithaca, New York, who is listening and taking notes, I am sure. Well, we are talking with the amazing Cindy L. from Firefighter Cancer Foundation, and she's doing amazing work, and she's helping out our audience today so that everybody can understand not only for your dog, for your cat, but also for your health and the health of your children. Now, Cindy, one of the things we talk about with all of these things, and I see a lot more often, is when you get your dog, you know, buy a dog or whatever, a $100 adoption fee from the shelter, they give you food, they give you, a blanket, they give you chew toys. Maybe you shouldn't be taking that stuff and bringing it into your home. Because look where it's made, and if it's made in China or if it's made in an area where, they do have these chemicals and junk in it that could possibly, hurt or kill your animal or yourself, you got to be careful with that. And something that Cindy said about bringing blankets in, it's very interesting because I think sometimes people don't realize that because they can't see something, it doesn't mean it's not there. One of the funniest things I've said is, we have a friend, Janae Bowen from Doggy 911, who's been on our show a number of times. She lives in California. Our engineers are also in California. NuVet Vitamins, which are the best vitamins in the world, they're also in California. Even though I can't see California right now, California's there. It's just not here. So just because I can't see it, I can't taste it, I can't touch it, I can't smell it, doesn't mean that California's not there. And it's the same thing with different items that could be toxic to your family. is you might not see it. You might not smell it. Do you know natural gas, and Cindy, correct me if I'm wrong, natural gas doesn't have a smell. They add that smell because otherwise you wouldn't know that there was gas leak.
Exactly.
So, Cindy, what else should we be aware of with, you know, with the winter and blankets and, you know, things that are in this stuff and fire hazards? What else, words of wisdom do you have? Because I know you have a lot.
Well, you want to go back again. It's good to frequently, actually, if you can, or have someone in the household, get down on all fours and take in the same view that your pet would have. Look around your rooms in any areas that the pet has exposed to, your dog has exposed to, and look at your cords. Look at anything coming in contact with your cords. Look at what your pet sees. Are there things that are enticing your pet to get into that maybe you don't want them to move or play with or chew on? You know, look for foam, obviously, your cords, your plastics, anything that can be harmful or cause an obstruction. We do that frequently in our home with our animals here.
Wow. So, in other words, if the dog chews on an electrical cord, I know obviously the dog could die, but could that cause a short circuit in a house too?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. So what's the best thing for people to do if they want to put like a heater in, you know, like some people have like a real hairy dog, like a shepherd, and they kind of have like a little area for the dog and they have a little space heater. What kind of heaters are typically the safest heaters if you have animals around?
Well, you definitely don't want to use any type of heater that can give you carbon monoxide poisoning. So, again, you're looking at not using propane heaters in closed spaces. If you're using an electric heater, your electric heater is probably going to be your safest bet, or some sort of heater that is up off of the floor and out of the pet's reach.
How about the ones that are like the fluid filled or oil filled, something like that? It looks like a little radiator. Are those safe?
Well, you want to watch, because if they're filled with any type of a fluid, those fluids also are going to put some sort of a gas off as they burn, and you want to make sure that you have good ventilation. Majority of those probably are not recommended for closed spaces. You'd want to check the label and see, again, what type of heater that is. If it's filled with a fluid, it's probably recommended for your open spaces with plenty of ventilation. Otherwise, all of you could end up very sick and potentially in the hospital.
Yeah, wow. You know, you just don't think of that kind of stuff. Now, how about, like, extension cords? Because that's something that I always wonder. I've walked into homes where there are extension cords on extension cords to get the heaters on. And you have two or three extension cords, and they have, you know, the receptacle that has, like, six of it, and then it has one in there that has another four. And I mean, how many extension cords are safe? Is it only one from the wall to your item, or can you do a bunch?
Well, the cords are going to dictate what type of load they're supposed to carry. In other words, if your extension cord only has two plugs on it, or if it's an actual electrical strip that has, say, six or eight actual outlets on there, then that's the number of what should be plugged into that. As soon as you start stacking multiple extension cords upon each other, you're overloading your system, and you're definitely going to run the risk of fire.
Well, okay. Now, how about if dog hair? I know I'm picking really little things, but I've been doing so many classes. I'm doing like 15 classes a week, plus working at the shelter, you know, working with them as well. One of the things is that somebody said to me, she has a really long hair. It's called a Leon Burger. It's a really big, it looks like a gigantic German Shepherd on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
The hair that these Leon Burgers are gorgeous. The hair that they have is so thick, and there's just so much of it. You take a dog like that, and she said sometimes she, you know, even just, you know, keeping clean, the hair winds up in the corner. It winds up in the extension cord. Can you short it out with dog? If like there's dog hair and you know it gets into your receptacles, is that also dangerous, or do we not have to worry about that?
You know, that's a good question, and I'm actually double checking a U.S. consumer product website here as we speak, because that question did kind of come up in my mind, because I had a feeling that's where you were going with this. it does further, again, reiterate keeping extension cords away from, obviously, children and pets. If a dog actually bites down on the cord, yes, they can not only electrocute themselves but also start a fire. If that cord also is either under a rug or under other objects, and the heat cannot escape that's supposed to from certain places the way the cord is made, then that can also cause a fire.
Wow.
If you have dog hair built up in those areas, dog hair can function like a rug. So that is something you would want to think about. If you tend to be somebody that lets dust bunnies grow up in the corners, maybe not a good thing to have those dust bunnies or those dog balls, balls of dog hair.
There you go.
Sorry about that.
And that's why it was breeding all last week and this week, so dog balls are very much in my mind right now.
This is where they don't mix so well.
Lucky Wyatt.
Exactly.
I keep looking that up for us, but one of the things is, you know, that I've seen people do is, like you said, they put extension cords, they run them under rugs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen, myself included, where, you know, you take the vacuum cleaner and you vacuum, and now, you know, you nick the cord, you know, your extension cord, and, you know, it's got a little open and you put a little electrical tape on it. So I'm sure that's not the safest thing either, and I hope you can stay with us again for another segment, please.
I sure can.
So we can talk about that. We'll be right back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and the amazing Cindy L. from Firefighter Cancer Foundation, who is teaching us all kinds of great things. And I'm giving her a run for her money on such short notice, but Cindy's brilliant and she is really on top of her game. And, you know, if you want to get in touch with Cindy, if you have any people in your life who are firefighters or first responders, you can get in touch with them. What is it, Cindy?
www.ffcancer.org. That's FF as in firefighter, cancer.org.
Awesome. And, you know, let her know, because we go all over the country working with Firefighter Cancer Foundation and checking these brave firefighters and their families for cancers and other health issues. So if this is something, and I know we've spoken about this before, if this is something that someone out there says, wow, I would love to be able to help out, I'd love to be able to train cancer detection dogs, I'd love to be able to help rehabilitate shelter dogs, turning them into service dogs, I'd love to become a natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialist. You can contact us at www.merlinskids.org, MERLINSKIDS.org, or at www.united9k9professionals.com, the united9professionals.com, or you can call us at 855-4-9-PROS, and 855-4-K9-PROS, or 855-HI-WYATT. Yeah, everyone loves that one, 855-HI-WYATT. And you can get in touch with Cindy Ellis if you have, you know, any need to learn more about things, and she's really an amazing lady, and we are so grateful to her. So, Cindy, let me ask you how safe it is. I just had this happen to me. We had one of our many power outages this year, And it just so happened, and you know the story, one of our dogs that we had just brought in had chewed through a cord.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of crazy because I didn't know what was going on. We had no power for a few days. I think it was last year. We had like 3 or 4 days. And then I put the, you know, we got the power, went back on, and the whole thing was over. And everything went on. All the appliances went on, except the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And the refrigerator was, it wasn't an old refrigerator. I said, geez, this is strange. Check the refrigerator. There's no light. Check the cord. The cord is plugged in. Gosh, I don't know what's wrong. How could this cord just be, like, magically not connected? Well, I brought the guy in for the, you know, service guy for the refrigerator, and he pulls the refrigerator cord, the refrigerator out from the wall. And lo and behold, one of our dogs, a new dog that we had in there who was a little bit of a stinker, had chewed through the refrigerator cord, which is, what is that, called 220?
Yeah, that's not good.
Now, what would have probably happened to that dog had we not had a power outage for 3 days? Would she have definitely been dead?
Well, it wouldn't have been good. Either she could have sustained some pretty serious burns to herself and or electrocution, or that could have actually started a fire as well. It just happens that I found some cool information for you.
Awesome.
That your readers can try. So if they're having an issue with their dogs being interested in cords or wanting to chew cords, you can actually take your cords and use zip ties first to run them up close to the baseboards, because you actually don't want them running across the floor because it can fray them from the inside out.
Oh.
If people are walking on them or they're coming in contact with things that cause rubbing, that's bad for your cords.
And how about PVC? I've done that all the time. I've done that with my dogs where I run a big PVC pipe and go to Sears and get them to cut that certain length. And is that okay, or then do we have to worry about toxicity from the PVC for our dogs?
Well, you know, the PVC probably is okay as long as the cord is intact and there's airflow through the PVC pipe. You're probably okay with that, and that's actually not a bad idea. I'll do some research for you on that as well.
Awesome.
But you can also use zip ties or baggy twist to shorten all your cords first so you don't have extra hanging down that's enticing. And then also, by keeping everything up off the floor while you do that, you also can spray the plug, and this is while it is unplugged first, with and also your furniture legs, or with either antiperspirant or deodorant, and then follow it with a perfume. The deodorant tastes bad to the dog, and the perfume is a scent reminder. Again, not to chew at that spot. There are also some safe dog sprays that, you know, are available commercially that will keep them from chewing because they either present a bitter taste or a certain odor also that would turn the dog off from wanting to chew. So that's a couple other options also.
Very cool. You know, another thing, Cindy, that's really great, but you can get the essential oil citronella.
Oh, there you go.
And
yes.
Dogs who counter surf,
mm-hmm.
you just take a little tiny bit. Now, I mean a little tiny bit. I just did a follow-up on a beautiful little border collie, and I had told him to use citronella. I said, take a wooden matchstick or a little wooden toothpick and dip it into the citronella oil, and just that little teeniest bit on the edge of wherever the dog is either counter surfing or chewing.
Mm-hmm.
And he took it one step farther, and he took like an eyedropper, and he used like 5 or 6 drops on the corner of each couch in the corner. Well, I walked in, and my first words were, you're not going to have mosquitoes in this place. It was so strong. So, you know, yes, it works, but don't like, you know, don't you go overboard where,
no.
you know, oh, my no. Lord, I'm walking in. And so now instead of the gas leak the family had, they now have the citronella. It's pretty funny.
Exactly.
So got to be careful. I mean, common sense, you know,
yes.
which is not so common all the time.
A little bit goes a long way. And keep in mind, as you said, a dog's nose is at least 10,000 times more powerful than the human nose. So if we can smell it, the dog can smell it a long time before us.
Exactly. I mean, that's how we train our dogs for the cancer detection, is the dog Dogs can smell, you know, 10 cancer cells. We can't smell a million or a billion or 100 billion cancer cells. So they are so sensitive, so less is more. But does it, any of those commercial sprays, is that pretty okay to spray that on a cord as long as the cord's not frayed and it's in good shape?
Well, as long as, again, you're using just a very small amount. So, one, your cord should not be plugged in while you're applying anything to the cord. And it's probably better, instead of just, say, spraying it on, I would actually put it onto a cloth or a paper towel and simply just rub it over the surface of the item, and that way you're not saturating and you're not creating another problem.
Mm.
You know, again, you just want a little bit of that scent to be on there. You don't need to have it soaked in.
Awesome. Here's another question. I know at this time of year, Cindy, a lot of people, we have little decorations that go from Christmas,
mm-hmm.
then they go to Valentine's Day, and then it goes to, like,
Easter's coming.
St. Patrick's Day, and then to Easter. How safe are these when people have Christmas lights for, you know, and I've seen this, and it just doesn't make sense to me. When people have these little paper, like, they're little paper things, and they have these little Christmas lights, kind of like little decorations, how safe are those 5 years after, 10 years after, or should you get new ones all the time?
Well, the lights, number one, should always have it's called the UL, or the Underwriters Lab, tag on them. That means that these are lights that have been manufactured and approved for safety here in the U.S., so first and foremost, use lights that have that UL tag.
Oh, I've got a question for you on that in a minute. We're going to have to take a break, but you got to stay with us because I have a major question on the UL.
All right,
we'll be right back. Stay tuned. From Shelter Dog to Service Dog is going to be returning in one momentito.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and our wonderful Cindy L. We were just talking about the UL. Now, I have a question because, you know, again, you know, if you use these items, I'm sure they are not as good as they are, you know, the day you buy them and they're new. I'm sure the plastic gets old and the rubber gets kind of overused. But what is the difference, and I don't know who knows this, between UL listed, UL approved? Because I've seen things that say UL listed, and that just means that it's listed with them versus UL Underwriter Laboratories approved. Do you know what the heck the difference is between those?
Well, the UL certifies, validates, tests, and specs these items. If it's listed with them, there are still certain qualifications that a company would have to meet in order to list with them. If it is approved, that means it's been formally tested by them. I would think, and again, I'd have to pop on the UL site here to look at the difference between the two. But when you're looking at the standard,
That's interesting. I got you. So, in other words, The one is kind of like, hey, we've tested it and you've checked it and you're saying it's listed because it's okay. The other one is where they're actually maybe testing it, so it's that extra level. But, I mean, as long as it says UL, we should be okay on that?
We should be, because they don't, in order to have the letters UL with the red circle, they do have to meet certain criteria.
Okay, so that's good to know.
And if you have questions, their website is UL.com, so that's easy enough to remember.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. All right, so let's get back to dogs a little bit now.
Absolutely.
And animals for the winter. How about, even though it's kind of unrelated, a lot of our people have fish tanks and they have, you know, reptiles that need to have heaters on. Just a quick question, how safe is that? It always bothers me when you have a fish tank that has, you know, basically like a light that's heating it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's water and it's just, you know, attached to or so close to it. Is that something that you don't have to worry or you do have to worry?
You should worry, just in that you should always use bulbs that are approved for that purpose only. You don't want to just go to the hardware store and or purchase offline bulbs that, again, are not rated for being used with water, because now you're putting electricity with water. And you've gone to all the work of creating this wonderful fish world. You don't want to electrocute your fish, and you certainly don't want to burn down your house.
Mm. Hey, Cindy, what is the most common source of fire, you know, in you know, the normal, you know, obviously not like arson, but what is kind of the things that is the most common in creating fires and starting fires, especially in the winter?
The top ones that firefighters see during the winter months, year-round, it's always food on the stove or food that's left unattended. That's a very popular one, and that becomes even more popular at the holidays because people are trying to cook, you know, large hams, large turkeys. They're even trying to deep-fry things that should be done maybe outside away from the home, and they think they can do a deep-fried turkey on the deck. And they burn off half the back of their house, or they burn down the house.
Wow.
So, again, you want to use hopefully some common sense in looking at what you're cooking and how you're cooking, and never leave anything that's cooking. If you're using heat, there should always be an attendant. The other big things are, again, your dryer. Dryer fires are very common year-round. And, again, your pet hair definitely has a big role in that. The other is going to be your heaters. So if someone is using a heater inside that, again, isn't rated or supposed to be used where it is, it can either cause a bigger fire and or cause carbon monoxide poisoning. So with carbon monoxide poisoning, if you have a headache, if people all in the house are feeling sleepy and they shouldn't be, if your animals are not acting normal, your animals are going to be your first clue that something is wrong. So if your animals are not acting right in the home and you're using a heater in the home and it's wintertime and everything's closed up, you might want to look at, again, something else possibly going on. If you have any doubts, again, you can call your local fire department for help, you know, if there's any doubt that your animals and you could be getting sick. The other is going to be your chimney fires.
And what's the safe thing on that? Because, you know, my dogs, my Ridgebacks love to be near the fire. How close is too close for them?
Well, again, you want to watch those tails. And any dog or animal that has a lot of fur definitely should not be that close to the fire. Your animals usually are pretty good about knowing where not to go. A lot of times our animals are smarter than we are with knowing how close to sit to the fire. But, you know, again, you want to make sure that your metals that may be around a fireplace aren't something that could cause a secondary burn to your animals. So if you have a really pretty fireplace kit and maybe those metal pokers and the metal shovel that you would use for cleaning out your fireplace are sitting close, you want to make sure that those don't become heated from the fire and could in turn burn your animals or kids.
Oh, wow. You know, that's stuff you just don't think about, and that's
nope.
Great. You know, that's why I love listening to you because, you know, it's not just the standard stuff that you expect. It's that, like, wow, I would never have thought of that. And, You know, I remember one year when I had my first Rhodesian Ridgeback, so gosh, this is like 29 years ago, Rambo, who I named my kennel Rambo Rhodesian Ridgebacks after. And Rambo, one year, we didn't even know what had happened, but his face blew up. I mean, blew up like a balloon. And, you know, he was so close to the fireplace, but by the time, you know, we left the fireplace and we were cooking or whatever, we came back, and he was just lying there. A few minutes later, he looked like some kind of space creature that had, mm-hmm. you know, landed. And we didn't figure it out, but now we call it, you know, we say that our Rhodesian Ridgebacks are worshiping the Iron Heat God. But, you know, we actually put a fireplace screen in front of our radiators so that, you know, it's not so hot, because they get real close up. And I just wonder, you know, if these dogs don't get burns. And sometimes, you know, people who have longer-haired dogs, you know, the Ridgebacks, it's pretty obvious. But, you know, if you have, like, a German Shepherd with a lot of hair, can they get burned underneath and, like, you don't even know it? And now here they've got some oozy, drippy, you know, thing going on, and, you know, you don't know how it happened.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because if the heat definitely will transfer through the fur to the skin. So, you know, that's a scenario that really is not that far-fetched, if you come to think about it. You're probably still going to see some singeing, I would think, of the hair with that, or some sort of drying of the hair in that area. But, yeah, if your dog is routinely sitting close to a fireplace, and maybe now they're showing up with what looks like an eczema or dry patches of skin, or now all of a sudden they're starting to scratch regularly in one certain area, you may want to look at, again, the behavior of your dog. You know, is your dog sitting with maybe their backside always to the fire, and now they've started routinely scratching that area of the backside? You know, could it be the heat that's actually drying out the fur and drying out the skin and causing that?
Mm. Yeah, it's just all these wonderful things. We have to keep our little fur families, you know, safe. And unfortunately, you know, they can't tell us when they have a problem. They can't say, Mommy, I got too close to the fire, you know, which if they could, and if I hear one more person, especially the women, who say, oh, if only Wyatt could talk, or if only my dog could talk, and I say, if only your dog could talk, you'd call him an ex-husband. We don't want our dogs to talk. And we do want to talk more, but I can't believe we have gone through a full show with Cindy. And I just love when Cindy's a guest, because she just knows so much stuff. Well, we're going to definitely have to kind of call it a day and let everybody check out Cindy's website, www.f, like in firefighter, ffcancer.org. And, of course, if you're interested in helping us at Merlin's Kids or United Canine Professionals, you let us know, because we have a great partnership with Firefighter Cancer where we're training cancer dogs. You can help us. You can help me. You can help Cindy. You can help our team across the country in helping to save firefighters and hopefully eventually bringing this to mainstream people so that, you know, we don't have to go in and get all these invasive tests. We can get sniffed by a dog. So, Cindy, thank you, thank you, thank you for, again, being a wonderful guest, and we definitely want to have you on more regularly.
Thank you, Janice. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thanks. And to all of you, stay safe. If you have any questions, send in your viewer email to janice@unitedk9professionals.com, and we will put your question on a future show. Everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Cindy, love you. Thank you. And to all of you, have a wonderful, healthy week.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.